Luke chapter 22, verses 66 to 23, verse 1. At daybreak, the council of the elders of the people, both the chief priests and teachers of the law, met together, and Jesus was led before them. "If you are the Christ," they said, "tell us." Jesus answered, "If I tell you, you will not believe me, and if I asked you, you would not answer. But from now on, the Son of God will be seated at the right hand of the mighty God." They all asked, "Are you then the Son of God?" He replied, "You are right in saying I am." Then they said, "Why do we need any more testimony? We have heard it from his own lips." Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate.
Thank you.
Today's second reading is Luke chapter 23, verses 1 to 12, and can be found on page 1059 in the church Bibles. Then the whole assembly rose and led him off to Pilate, and they began to accuse him, saying, "We have found this man subverting our nation. He opposes payment of taxes to Caesar and claims to be Christ, a king." So Pilate asked Jesus, "Are you the king of the Jews?" "Yes, it is, as you say," Jesus replied. Then Pilate announced to the chief priests and the crowd, "I find no basis for a charge against this man." But they insisted, "He stirs up the people all over Judea by his teaching. He started in Galilee and has come all the way here." On hearing this, Pilate asked if the man was a Galilean. When he learned that Jesus was under Herod's jurisdiction, he sent him to Herod, who was also in Jerusalem at the time. When Herod saw Jesus, he was greatly pleased, because for a long time he had been wanting to see him. From what he had heard about him, he hoped to see him before some miracle. He plied him with many questions, but Jesus gave him no answer. The chief priests and the teachers of the law were standing there, vehemently accusing him. Then Herod and his soldiers ridiculed and mocked him, dressing him in an elegant robe. They sent him back to Pilate. That day, Herod and Pilate became friends. Before this, they had been enemies.
Okay, well, we're going to think about what happened next. Now, boys and girls, if you want to come forward, if you want to be on the floor down here, you can be, so that you can see a bit better. If you can't see where you are, do come forward. Thanks, Tobes. No, don't lie down. Thank you, sit up. So if you want to, you can come forward, but you don't have to. Now, let's pray. Let's ask for God's help. That's it, boys. Great stuff. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for what we read in your word. Thank you for Jesus, that he was prepared to go through those trials and go to the cross, and that he did it for us. Please help us to understand that better now. Amen. So Jesus had been arrested. He was arrested and he was taken before, well, so far we've seen he's been taken before three kinds of court. In other words, they were trying him to see if he was guilty. First off, there were the religious leaders. And he appeared before them and they decided they wanted Jesus dead. Then Jesus appeared before Pilate, who was one of the Roman governors. And Pilate couldn't find that Jesus had done anything wrong. So he sent him to another person called Herod. And Herod also couldn't find that Jesus had done anything wrong, so he sent him back to Pilate. And so we need to imagine that we are now outside Pilate's residence. We are about to see Jesus tried before Pilate. Now you are the crowd. And in the crowd, there are the religious leaders, but there are others as well. The crowd who've gathered to see what's going to happen to Jesus. And you've got some lines. So we need to practice them. Are you ready for your practice of your lines, crowd? Your lines will come up on the screen. Your first line is this: "Away with Jesus, release Barabbas." So Have you got that? Away with Jesus, release Barabbas. So, ready, after three. One, two, three.
Away with Jesus, release Barabbas.
That's right. Now, it'll become clear why you're saying that in a bit. Your next line is this. Okay, ready?
Crucify.
Thank you. And then, your next line, you're going to say it three times, crucify him. And as you do, you get louder, all right? So at the end, you're shouting really loudly, all right? Because the crowd were really loud. Okay, so you're ready? Three times, crucify him. Ready? One, two, three.
Crucify him. Crucify him. Crucify him.
Now, I think you could do even louder on that last one. Now, I know we're not kind of going for holiday club, kind of crazy, that kind of thing. But we are going for loud, all right? Because the crowd was so loud that, well, you'll see what happens. So let's go for it again. So you start quieter, get louder, and then even louder. Ready? Okay, one, two, three. Thank you. Well done. Very good. So, sitting on the judgment seat is Pilate. Thank you, Pilate. Sitting on the judgment seat. And before Pilate is brought Jesus. Now, I've asked Ollie if Ollie would come and stand in for Jesus. So, Ollie, would you come and stand? Or two, you stand on this side over here. I may have just switched sides from how we practice, but anyway. Jesus stands here before Pilate. I need my script. So Jesus is brought before Pilate and the crowd.
You brought this man before me, accused of misleading the people. Having examined him before you, I cannot find him guilty of any of the charges you brought before me. So I sent him to Herod, who also found he had done nothing wrong. So he sent him back. He has done nothing to make him guilty and deserve to be crucified. So I will punish him and set him free.
Now, there was a tradition at that time of year that Pilate would release one prisoner. It was the prisoner that the crowd, that the people wanted to be released. And Pilate was hoping that the crowd would choose to let Jesus be set free. But the crowd shouted, "Away with Jesus! Release Barabbas!" Ah, now we need Barabbas. Aaron, I've asked if he would stand and be Barabbas for us. Would you stand this side? Just there, that's it. Now, Barabbas was not a good man. Barabbas had led a revolt. He'd led a rebellion and was guilty of murder. He was not a good man. But the crowd had shouted that they wanted Barabbas released and Jesus crucified.
But Jesus is innocent.
Crucify him.
Why? What evil has he done? I have found nothing that he has done that deserves death. I will punish him and release him.
But the crowd got louder. Now, let's just pause at this point. So before us, before Pilate, we have two people. One guilty of murder and rebellion and rioting, and one who is completely innocent. Pilate has said over and over again, he can't find that he's done anything wrong. What's going to happen? Now, in a way, we need to see that we are a lot like Barabbas. See, we are guilty too. Okay, we may not have done murder. We may not have done rebellion. And I doubt many people here have. But actually, we have rebelled against God. And the Bible tells us that we're all guilty before God. So we're like a bit like Barabbas. But Jesus was completely innocent. He'd never done anything wrong, and certainly he had never, ever done anything that should deserve being crucified. Well, let's go back to the scene. The crowd was shouting loudly.
Release Barabbas. Crucify Jesus.
So Barabbas is set free. And Jesus goes off to be crucified. Oh, you go head out that way with Pilate. The innocent man was taken away to be crucified. But the guilty man went free and was released. And that again is a bit like us. We're guilty. But Jesus took what we deserve. Barabbas deserved to be crucified, but was released. Jesus didn't deserve to be crucified, but was. And Jesus does that for you and me too. See, like I said, we're all guilty. We all do bad things. I wonder if you can remember, boys and girls, I wonder if you can remember a time when you were told off. I'm sure it was a long time ago, but I wonder if you can remember, maybe it was even this morning, but maybe you can remember a time when you were really told off. You'd done something really bad. Are you thinking of that time? And sometimes we might say, well, you know what, it wasn't my fault. I couldn't help it because of this or because of that or whatever it was. But actually, we probably really know deep down inside that we did something wrong, that we did something bad. And we know we deserve to be punished. And maybe you can remember what that punishment was that you got. Maybe you weren't allowed to go to break time, or maybe you weren't allowed to watch TV, or maybe you had to sit on the naughty step, or whatever it was. Imagine if someone took that for you. They said, I'll take that punishment for you. That's what Jesus did. Now, how are you going to respond? You see, the thing is, we all need to respond to this. We need to respond to what Jesus did for us. It's no good just knowing about it. Knowing that Jesus died for us doesn't make you a Christian. Just like knowing that India exists doesn't make you Indian. We've got to respond. There are two things we need to do to respond. We need to thank God. We need to make it personal and say, thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. That you died to take my sin, my wrongdoing, all my rebellion, all the bad things I've ever done. Thank you, Jesus, that you died for me. But also recognize that Jesus didn't stay dead, that he rose to life again, and that he is king. And so we need to say, please, God, help me to live with Jesus as king over my life. So we're going to respond now. We're going to pray. And if you want to join in, you can. But we just do it. You do it silently and I'll lead us. So you close your eyes and we'll bow our heads and we'll pray. Father, thank you that Jesus died for me. Thank you that he took my place. And the punishment that he had is the one that I deserve. Father, thank you that Jesus didn't stay dead, but that he rose to life again, and he is king over the whole world. Please help me to live with Jesus as my king. Amen. Great. Well, thank you, boys and girls.